and overwhelming. God help us. On screen now, the initiate was raising the skull to his lips. He tipped it backward, draining the blood-red wine, sealing his oath. Then he lowered the skull and gazed out at the assembly around him. America's most powerful and trusted men gave contented nods of acceptance. "Welcome, brother," Peter Solomon said. As the image faded to black, Langdon realized he had stopped breathing. Without a word, Sato reached over, closed the briefcase, and lifted it off his lap. Langdon turned to her, trying to speak, but he could find no words. It didn't matter. Understanding was written all over his face. Sato was right. Tonight was a national security crisis of unimaginable proportions. Chapter 118. Dressed in his loincloth, Malach padded back and forth in front of Peter Solomon's wheelchair. "Peter," he whispered, enjoying every moment of his captive's horror. "You forgot you have a second family, your Masonic brothers, and I will destroy them too, unless you help me." Solomon looked almost catatonic in the glow of the laptop sitting atop his thighs. "Please," he finally stammered, glancing up. "If this video gets out—"
"If?"
Malach laughed.
"If it gets out?"
He motioned to the small cellular modem plugged into the side of his laptop.
"I'm connected to the world."
"You wouldn't."
"I will,"
Malach thought, enjoying Solomon's horror.
"You have the power to stop me," he said, "and to save your sister. But you have to tell me what I want to know. The lost word is hidden somewhere, Peter, and I know this grid reveals exactly where to find it."
Peter glanced at the grid of symbols again, his eyes revealing nothing.
"Perhaps this will help to inspire you."
Malach reached over Peter's shoulders and hit a few keys on the laptop. An email program launched on the screen, and Peter stiffened visibly. The screen now displayed an email that Malach had queued earlier tonight, a video file addressed to a long list of major media networks. Malach smiled.
"I think it's time we share. Don't you?"
"Don't!"
Malach reached down and clicked the send button on the program. Peter jerked against his bonds, trying unsuccessfully to knock the laptop to the floor.
"Relax, Peter,"
Malach whispered.
"It's a massive file. It will take a few minutes to go out."
He pointed to the progress bar. "Sending message, 2% complete."
"If you tell me what I want to know, I'll stop the email, and nobody will ever see this."
Peter was ashen as the taskbar inched forward. "Sending message, 4% complete." Malach now lifted the computer from Peter's lap and set it on one of the nearby pigskin chairs, turning the screen so the other man could watch the progress. Then he returned to Peter's side and laid the page of symbols in his lap.
"The legends say the Masonic pyramid will unveil the lost word. This is the pyramid's final code. I believe you know how to read it."
Malach glanced over at the laptop. "Sending message, 8% complete." Malach returned his eyes to Peter. Solomon was staring at him, his gray eyes blazing now with hatred.
"Hate me," Malach thought. "The greater the emotion, the more potent the energy that will be released when the ritual is completed."
At Langley, Nola Kay pressed the phone to her ear, barely able to hear Sato over the noise of the helicopter.
"They said it's impossible to stop the file transfer," Nola shouted. "To shut down local ISPs would take at least an hour, and if he's got access to a wireless provider, killing the ground-based internet won't stop him from sending it anyway."
Nowadays, stopping the flow of digital information had become nearly impossible. There were too many access routes to the internet. Between hard lines, Wi-Fi hotspots, cellular modems, sat phones, superphones, and email-equipped PDAs, the only way to isolate a potential data leak was by destroying the source machine.
"I pulled the spec sheet on the UH-60 you're flying," Nola said, "and it looks like you're equipped with EMP. Electromagnetic pulse, or EMP guns, were now commonplace among law enforcement agencies, which used them primarily to stop car chases from a safe distance. By firing a highly concentrated pulse of electromagnetic radiation, an EMP gun could effectively fry the electronics of any device it targeted: cars, cell phones, computers. According to NOLA's spec sheet, the UH-60 had a chassis-mounted, laser-sighted 6 GHz magnetron with a 50 decibel gain horn that yielded a 10 gigawatt pulse. Discharged directly at a laptop, the pulse would fry the computer's motherboard and instantly erase the hard drive.
EMP will be useless, Sato yelled back. Target is inside a stone building. No sight lines and thick EM shielding. Do you have any indication yet if the video has gone out?
NOLA glanced at a second monitor, which was running a continuous search for breaking news stories about the Masons.
Not yet, ma'am, but if it goes public, we'll know within seconds.
Keep me posted.
Sato signed off. Langdon held his breath as the helicopter dropped from the sky toward DuPont Circle. A handful of pedestrians scattered as the aircraft descended through an opening in the trees and landed hard on the lawn just south of the famous two-tiered fountain designed by the same two men who created the Lincoln Memorial. 30 seconds later, Langdon was riding shotgun in a commandeered Lexus SUV, tearing up New Hampshire Avenue toward the House of the Temple. Peter Solomon was desperately trying to figure out what to do. All he could see in his mind were the images of Catherine bleeding in the basement and of the video he had just witnessed. He turned his head slowly toward the laptop on the pigskin chair several yards away. The progress bar was almost one-third of the way filled. Sending message, 29% complete. The tattooed man was now walking slow circles around the square altar, swinging a lit censer and chanting to himself. Thick puffs of white smoke swirled up toward the skylight. The man's eyes were wide now, and he seemed to be in a demonic trance. Peter turned his gaze to the ancient knife that sat waiting on the white silk cloth spread across the altar. Peter Solomon had no doubt that he would die in this temple tonight. The question was how to die. Would he find a way to save his sister and his brotherhood, or would his death be entirely in vain? He glanced down at the grid of symbols. When he had first laid eyes on the grid, the shock of the moment had blinded him, preventing his vision from piercing the veil of chaos to glimpse the startling truth. Now, however, the real significance of these symbols had become crystal clear to him. He had seen the grid in an entirely new light. Peter Solomon knew exactly what he needed to do.